This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Allah Ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi, wa la tamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. Wa atasimu bihablillahi jami'a. In Alhamdulillah, the praises to Allah, and we thank Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our sins, and whoever Allah guides, nobody's going to misguide them. But whoever Allah doesn't guide, they will never find any kind of a guide. And we thank Allah because He's the only one that really makes us Muslim. He tells the believers in the Quran, in Surah Al Imran, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah as it is His right that you have taqwa for Him, and don't die except in the state of Al-Islam. There's some words that I just left in the Arabia, in the Arabic language, because they don't translate very rapidly or easily into English. Substitution is one of the biggest problems we suffer from today because too many people rely on translations and they don't accept or they don't understand the Arabic. I'll give you some examples about that before I explain the ayah that I just read to you. Somebody says, and we'll start with the very beginning of Revelation, Iqra. And what does Iqra mean? And they will tell you, it means read. And after that, they begin to give you this big theory that they have that is the indication that Muslims need to go to college, get PhDs, be educated, go around the world with their great knowledge and science, which is nothing wrong with that. But the word Iqra doesn't mean that. Even some went to the extent of fabricating hadith saying you go to China for knowledge, fabricated. Or that from the time you from the cradle to the grave, you're seeking knowledge, fabricated. It's not wrong to seek knowledge, even to China. And definitely from the time we're born to the time we die, we should be doing it, but don't say the Rasul said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he didn't say it. There's another one that's like that, when they tell you the greatest jihad is jihad al-nafs. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say it. Maybe true. Maybe that may be my biggest striving and struggling is with my own personality, my own nafs. But we shouldn't say Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something he didn't say. Because what he did say is let the one who attributes to me something I didn't say reserve their seat in the hellfire. That's for real. You want to know why we have problems today? Well, we don't really know what our religion is. We're relying on translations and other people's interpretations. And how are we any different then from the people in the church who do the same thing? Iqra. Start with that word. What is Iqra? You mean read? Really? Because if you say it like that, you can see why Christians will immediately say we found mistakes. Na'udhu billah. Yeah, because watch. The story you know and I know better is when Rasul Sallam is in a cave called Hira in the Jabal Nur, the Mountain of Light. Is that right? In Ramadan, right? Laylatul Qadr, right? Everybody agree on this. The Malaika, the angel, Jibril, alayhi salam, he comes down to Rasul Sallam. Comes in the cave, the cave, with him. He hugs him. Some people make it sound like he was admonishing him, hurting him, you know. It wasn't. He was hugging him out of love and enthusiasm because he had heard about Rasul from previous prophets and knew that there was this one coming who Allah loved and he wanted to just give him a hug. Some translators, interpreters made it sound like he was squeezing him to death because he wouldn't read. Have you heard that kind of stuff? Should read the real tafsir. You'd be surprised. This is not what it says. It said, Iqra. Ma ana biqari. That's the response of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ma ana bikari. You know what the translator said? I don't know how to read. If you know Arabic, you say, hey, you know what? That's not a good translation. That is not a good translation. Yet you'll find almost every one of those who try to explain in the front part of a translated Quran, it'll tell you this little story. And it gets worse. One of them even said that he saw the angel in a dream or some kind of a vision. Doesn't work. Because that would mean then everything that we're doing is based on somebody's dreams? Wow. Unfortunately, the translations, most of them are people that are not Arabs. And in some cases, they're people who came to Islam, and in all good faith, they tried to do their best with what they could, but it's 100 years ago or more, and then other translators just rely on that. Iqra. It comes from the same root, qara'a, as the word Quran. When somebody's reciting Quran, we say he's a qari, right? A qari. We didn't call him a reader, did we? He's a qari. And we don't call the Quran a reading. We call it a recitation. One who recites is a reciter. The Quran then is a recitation. So, iqra means what? Recite. That's what it meant. Now, listen to what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Ma ana biqari. I'm not a reciter. He didn't say I don't know how to recite. Because the people at the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were reciters. That was a famous thing at that time. Anybody even selling his wares on the street would make up poetry about it and try to be real fluent with it. And then you'd appreciate, wow, this guy's a good reciter, and then buy his stuff from him or whatever. So stop and think before we give meanings to stuff. A reciter. And Prophet said, I'm not of those guys. I'm not going around here reciting. Doesn't mean he doesn't know how. He's just not a reciter. Then the second time when the Malaika, the angel Jibril, he said to the Prophet Iqra, he said, Ana Umi, I'm illiterate. I don't read or write. That's where he said that. But it had nothing to do with the subject about being a qari, because anybody that can make a sound can be a qari. Alhamdulillah. Let's consider that some of the other words. For instance, salah. I don't think anybody in the world would disagree if we said salah means prayer, right? Anywhere in the world, you go and you say, how do I translate the word salah to English? They'll say prayer. The problem? That's not what it means. So if you tell somebody to pray 5 times a day, translate the word prayer to the Arabic for anybody that's Arab. I'm talking about Christians too. Because Christians, they do their prayer. Do you know that? All the Christians do prayer. Only what did they call it? Dua. This is dua. This is calling on Allah. Dawah is calling the people, right? Huh? You don't say you go out and give people salah, do you? No. You give them dawah. And you're calling them to Islam. And dua is calling on Allah to answer your prayers. Make sense? Okay, now, so what does salah mean? Well, if you're smart, you go to the root of the words. This is why you need to have a scholar to help you. Somebody that knows the lughat al-arabiyyah. Ask him, what is the root? Comes from the same source as silla. Silla. It means what? Connection. Communication and connection. This is silla. So now think what it is. You're making a connection with Allah 5 times a day or more. If you don't keep your phone connected to charge it up, if you don't keep a battery in it, if you don't have minutes on it, or if you don't have some kind of connection, you can't use your phone, can you? It's real easy for us today to understand that concept of staying in touch, being connected up, It's true or false. We got that concept today. Anybody can figure it out. But we're using the wrong word. So when we tell a brand new Muslim, do your prayers 5 times a day, he's just going to say, okay, I got to do eating lunch, let me do a prayer. Hey, thanks a lot for the lunch. Is that salah? No, that's dua. We have something other people don't have. We have a source to go straight to the creator of the universe in our salah. That's what it is. We should respect that. We should be thankful for it. The companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were very thankful that salah came for them. And they didn't have to do 50 times a day, as you well know. They just do 5 and they get the reward of 50. When you tell a new Muslim about this, he becomes very happy. Because he understands what you felt when you entered Islam, that magical feeling. I don't want to use the word magic, but that super duper thing that happened to you when you said, Shadu Allah, ilaha illallah, Shadu Muhammad Rasulullah. Woof! Nobody can tell you what that feels like unless you felt it. You know what it is. But you get that every time you do salah. All you have to do is focus. Have khushu in your salah, you'll feel it. Get up in the night and do it, you'll feel it. Biggest problem is we don't know what we're talking about. And we're trying to pass on to somebody else something we don't even know what it is ourselves. There's a problem. Our youth, our young people today, they're coming with us to the masjid, they're sitting with us in the masjid, but most of the time they don't have a clue what's happening. Nobody's really explaining it so they can get it. And I'm going to maybe shock some of you, maybe you don't realize this. Islam, as you know, is still today the fastest growing religion in the world. In fact, it's easier now for me to give shahada to somebody than it was 25 years ago. Very simple. But you want to know the downside? We've got our youth, our own people, even some of our adults leaving Islam almost as fast as people are coming in. We're trading out back and forth. And if you think, oh, well, that's only restricted to here in America, it's worse in other countries. I just came back from Jordan and Kuwait. It's just over there. In fact, the only reason I'm here right now is we had to come to a funeral. This was unknown to me. If you'd have said 48 hours ago I was going to be here, I would have said, how is that possible? I was still coming back from Kuwait. But alhamdulillah, this qadr of Allah. While we were there, though, some of the brothers were telling me stories. It shocked me. One sheikh was telling us that he asked, and these are all Muslim kids, and we're not talking about converts or children of converts. These are generations since the time of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm not going to tell you which country, but what happened, he had about 400 students, about the number we got in here right now. Imagine. He asked all of them to close their eyes. Now raise your hand if you can tell me what is lakum dinakum waliyadin. Not in Arabic nor English. Nobody could do it. Ask him again. Keep your eyes closed. Translate, and he gave him something out of Fatiha. Nobody. Finally, when he said, who can explain to me what does it mean? Maliki Yawmiddin. 4 or 5. I don't remember the number he said now. Raise their hand. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again. He didn't have that many. The vast majority didn't raise their hand. But ask him about any sports figure. Ask him about a video game. Ask him about their favorite food. Boom! All their hands will go up just like that. So our children today know more about sports figures than they do companions. They know more about the operation of a video game than they do on how to make wudu and salah. And they're much more excited to have a visit from some football player than they are to know about how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have so many times I've heard kids say about the khutbah Jummah, it was boring, boring, boring. I can't talk. I can't sit, I can't talk to my friends, I can't do anything, can't eat, can't drink, can't chew gum, can't do anything like that. It's boring. Sit there all that time for what? So it's a responsibility of us, if they're not going to understand the khutbah, at least to explain it to them when we get home or on the way home. At least to show them something from what we get out of the khutbah. And hopefully to get people better than me that can explain things, to at least get them excited about it. Because that, brothers and sisters, is the future of Islam. Without our children, we don't have anything. There is no, if there's no next generation, so what's going to happen with Islam? Let me come back now to the subject I was telling you about. When I mentioned to you that ayah from the Quran, I left some stuff in it in Arabic. Let's listen to it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, well, I translated that one to believers. Ya yuladina amanu, amanu, believers. Ittaqallah, we said that is to have taqwa for Allah. That's the word I left in the Arabia. Haqqatukatihi, which is to say that it's His right that you have taqwa for Him. وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and don't die except as a Muslim. There were two words that I did not translate. The first one is taqwa. Taqwa. Almost every one of the translations will say pious or righteousness or God-fearing. But you can play this game. Just go to Google and ask it to translate from Arabic to English and put in the words that I just said, like righteousness, it's not going to say taqwa. If you say God-fearing, it'll actually tell you ilah, which is God, not Allah, just a God. And the word is khawf, something you fear. It didn't come up taqwa. Why? Because that's not the word. Now this is something you could share with the kids that like the video games. When you play video games, you have some kind of character that's going around doing stuff, and he's getting shot at or bombed at or different things, and he needs to have something to protect him. Now he can have a weapon, but one of the things in these games is to always have a what? A shield, right? And you use that shield against the aggression coming at you from these monsters or things that are attacking you. You have a shield against what? In Quran, in Surah Fatiha, which you're reading 17 times a day or more, hopefully more, you're saying these words, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَدَّالِينَ. مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ is translated as those that have the anger of Allah. Well, actually, غَضَب is the word here. مَغْضُوبِ is غَضَب. Is something more than anger. Anger is like when you're sitting at a traffic light, right? And you're waiting and you're in a hurry, and the guy ahead of you is not paying attention. The light turns green, you're like, bonk, 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 come on, man. And he goes, oh, yeah, oops, turned red again. Sorry. And now you're angry, you're frustrated, you're upset, right? But when the guy gets out of his car and comes back to your windshield with a tire tool and starts breaking it out, that's ghadab. It means you're going to do something about the anger. And this is what we're afraid of on the Yawmul Qiyamah. It's not that Allah is going to just be angry. That's bad enough. But He's going to do something about it. There's going to be punishment. Shadid al-Iqab on that day. And if you don't have that shield now in this life, you got no shield on that day. As simple as that. Whoa. Right away, I got some players here who know their video games. They're saying, how do I get that? What do I need to trade to get that kind of shield? Huh? I'll tell you how you can do it. Real easy. Allah tells you in the Quran, right after you said, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَدَّالِينَ, what happens next? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك كتاب الله ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. The book wherein there is no doubt is a source of guidance for those who have the shield, the people of the taqwa, muttaqin. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ اللَّهُ دَمِّرَ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. There you go. Who are the ones that are going to be muflihun? They're the ones who are on the hidayah of Allah. That's what it says. Translate it for yourself. Go look at it and see. But I want to know, who are those guys? They are the ones who believe in al-ghaib, the unseen. Allah is in the unseen. Jinn is in the unseen. Jahannam, na'udhu billah, is in the unseen. Malaika, unseen. Jinn, unseen. Many of the things that we don't really know for sure, but we take for granted on our faith because we do have belief in Allah. And they are the ones who established their, what? Not prayers. Salah. They established their what? Connection with Allah. Connection with Allah. And they give from what Allah gives them, the risk that Allah gives, they give a charity, they give out to other people, they're generous. And they believe in what was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they believe what was sent down before. And these are the, oh, and they believe in the resurrection, that we'll all be brought back, the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And these are the people who are on the hidayah of Allah. These are the people who are successful. Successful. And we all want to be successful in this life and the next life. And there's a beautiful little prayer that you'll find. It's beautiful. You use it whenever you're doing tawaf in Umrah or Hajj. You use this throughout the days whenever you just want to remember Allah. You say this, you should be saying something like this after at least one or two of your salats every day. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasan wa fil akhirati hasan wa qina adhabannar. We say, our Lord, give us good in this life and give us the good in the next life and save us from the punishment of hell. Ameen. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers, if you will, just come up forward. There's so much empty space here in the middle. Please come forward as much as you can. There's so much empty space. I want to come back now to the rest of the ayah. If you remember, I read more to you. We said, don't die except as what? We said Muslim. That's not a translated word, is it? Is Muslim an English word or Arabic? Which is it? Arabic! Duh! So why we didn't translate it? And why we don't ever translate the word Islam? Translate the word Islam. Go through and look at all the translations of Quran. They never translate Islam, ever. Inna dina inda lahi al-Islam. Okay, that's chapter 3, verse 19. Look and see what it says. It said, for sure, with Allah, the only religion is Islam. They mistranslated deen because it's really way of life. But never mind that. The word Islam is still Arabic. You didn't tell anybody anything. You didn't help them at all. That's not a translation. The word Islam from the Arabia is a beautiful, beautiful understanding. It's an amazing thing. If people knew what it was, they'd be like, hey, that's what I want. Some people have got a sense of it because they'll say Islam is peace. That's not wrong, it's just not complete. Every human being wants peace. That's why we do what we do. We want to find that tranquility inside of us, that inner peace, that salam. We want that. So that's why we work, that's why we get degrees, that's why we go out here and try to get money, or we try to get fame or glory, whatever. Because everybody thinks whatever they're doing is going to give them the peace. Do you know that? Even people killing other people, they do it because they think they're going to get peace out of it. They do that. Human beings have that one core common denominator in all of us. We want peace. The vast majority don't know how to get it. In fact, there is no peace without understanding this word. You could solve world problems if you could just communicate this to the people. Look in the dictionary and you'll find for yourself. One of the words that you'll pull out of it in English is surrender. Complete and total surrender. To who? To Allah, of course. Submission. You will submit yourself to whatever He wants you to do. Obedience. You will obey Him unconditionally. This is the third word. The fourth word that we found, and this is a very impressive word, sincerity. If you said, what's so impressive about that? Excuse me. Do you understand what sincerity means? If I came to you and grabbed you right now and said, you have to love me. You have to love me. And you said, okay, I do. Is there any sincerity in what you just said? No. You're just like, I want to get away from this crazy guy. Right? So if somebody came to you and put a sword at your neck and said, you have to accept Islam, did you accept Islam? It's impossible. Impossible. Because it can't be forced. There's no such thing as forced conversion to sincerity. Forced sincerity? That's a contradiction in terms. Forced sincerity? That's an oxymoron, like government intelligence. It doesn't work. Sorry for the pun. Couldn't resist that temptation. Everybody wants peace. We want that. And now look, that's the fifth word. Peace. And these are all from the source. You go to the source of aslama. That's the verb, aslama. The one who does it is a mu'aslam. The one who does aslama, surrenders, submission, obedience, sincerity, and peace with God, he's doing that and he becomes a mu'aslam. So if you said, well, what about Islamic terrorism? It's only because we never translated it. You didn't understand. You just said, I'm stupid. That's what you said. What about peaceful terrorism? Dumb. We let the media get away with that. And we did let them do it. How much effort have the, let's just take one religion, Christian religion, how much effort have they put into broadcasting around the world? In every single country, they've got, if you know satellite, you know that there are Christian channels everywhere. Yes or no? They spent money. They backed it up. They put it out there. And to do that, you have to have studios where you can have actual real people. And then the people will tell you what's going on in today's world right now. And so other people will watch them and take their word for what they're saying. We call it news. I call it something else, but I won't say it on the minbar. I'm just telling you, they did it. Over 800 channels today in the world broadcasting in English, never mind other languages. Think about that. Each one of them having a studio, each one of them having their own antennas and super antennas in all the major cities. And they're on the cable. And what have we really done? Ask yourself, what do we really have right here? Right here in Irving, Texas. What do we have? Because right down the road from where we are right now is the capital of one of the biggest Christian broadcasting networks. And you know that. Houston has another big one. By the way, just so you know, I did put an antenna in here. It's broadcasting from Midlothian all the way to Fort Worth and all the way to Dallas. It's called Channel 26.1. We did put one in Houston, Texas. It's on Channel 10.2 in Houston, Texas. And whenever I come to the Muslims and ask you, just do something for this. I hear stuff like, well, we want to build another mosque. We need a more school for our kids. And the schools that I visited in some of the states shocked me. They were using the same curriculum that the state uses and hiring teachers that weren't Muslims to teach it, and they called it Islamic school. And what tipped me off was one night, I was new to their community, some friends of mine from Russia had come all the way over just to see me in their city, their village. And they spent the night in the masjid. They were going to sleep on the floor. Next morning, a lady came in, short skirt on, and she told them, get out of here, I'm the principal. You don't have any right here, bunch of bums, get out. And that's what opened my eyes to the whole thing. I investigated, and then I told the guys, because they want me there to raise funds for them. I said, no way, I'm just leaving. You don't owe me anything, I don't owe you anything. I'm not going to do it. You want me to raise funds so you can use the state curriculum, state-approved teachers, non-Muslims, to go against what we do. And you call it Islamic school. What I'm getting at, brothers and sisters, if we don't come together, we're going to have a bigger problem. I went over the time that I wanted to use, but I wanted to mention this to you. The end of the khutbah, I wanted to talk about another word, faraqah. Because in the ayah I read that to you. I don't know if you noticed it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun wa i'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. And this is Allah talking to the believers. He put an and there. This is not another story. He said, wow, you know, and wa. And hold tight to the rope of Allah, all of you together, jamia, and do not make faraqah. Don't separate. Don't separate. Don't separate. It's the only thing that will defeat us is separating. Going off into groups with different mentalities and coming up with this irrational, radical behavior is only the tip of the iceberg. How much more has been going on for centuries, division after division after division, and everybody is smarter than everybody else. Our group, our gang, that's what it is, it's a gang, Asabiya. As long as we continue to do that, watch what Allah will do to us next. I'm not saying that we bring all gangs together, because that would be chaos in itself. I'm saying let's go back to what Prophet ﷺ taught us. He taught us something very simple, very true, very easy to understand. La ilaha illallah. When he sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Yemen, he told him, I'm sending you to the land of the Ahl Kitab. And that's where we are right now, in the land of the Ahl Kitab. He didn't say go in there and terrorize them. He said tell them about La ilaha illallah. And if they accept it, then tell them about the Salah. Is that right or wrong? So there you have it. And this is what we didn't do. But we can do that. We can change. It's never too late to change. Allah says He won't change the conditions of a people until they change themselves. If you're ready for change, I'm ready for change. I'm ready to take us and work us together to come together for something really great. Really wonderful. Using our youth in a direction to let them learn about real broadcasting. How to use the social media in a positive way instead of going on there just to insult people. How to use television broadcasting to bring about this real beautiful message of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Instead of going out here and doing some of the other things that are going on. I ask Allah to accept from all of us to bring us together on the Day of Judgment as true believers, ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our children to do better than we did, ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the real khayr in this life and khayr in the next life and save us from the hellfire, ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الحمد لله رب العالمين هو الذي جعل المسلمين كمصلى. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I'm going to ask our brother to please lead the salah for me because I'm going to be praying in a chair and I don't want to confuse anybody, inshallah. And then after the salah, if you would like to come out and see us for a couple minutes, we're going to be out in the hallway with the Talking About Guidance TV. And then we'll also be back here again after Dhuhr on Sunday. Not tomorrow, but Sunday. If you would like to bring the children out and spend some time with us, well, I think we're going to have some of the puppets there and just have some fun. I encourage you to bring non-Muslims, especially to come and see what we really are all about. And please, brothers, do this prayer as though it's your last.